Well, it's great to be here at Metro, and great to share a bit of a story earlier on. Tonight, it's a one-off special, and we're thinking about healing. Now, it's not faith healing, it's supernatural healing, and there is a difference. I might explain a bit in a moment or two. But if you're new to Metro or new around, you might think, why this evening we talk about healing? I can understand why Christians might want to talk about the Bible. I can understand why they might want to talk about morals and kind of that. But what about supernatural healing? Isn't that a bit kind of old? Is that something that's really relevant for today? And I suppose for myself, I do have kind of questions around supernatural healing, because I trained as a scientist. I came here to Bristol, to university. I did a physics degree. I then went up north to Lancaster, and for 3 years I taught secondary school up to A-level physics. I still have a nervous twitch occasionally when I think about it. And I just love the world in which we live. I mean, I love kind of the laws of physics, F equals MA, all those kind of stuff, that kind of stuff. I mean, I just love looking at creation and nature. It just fascinates me how the physical world works. And the pursuit of science, of trying to understand the physical world, is just an amazing kind of way to live. But probably as I was growing up, I encountered some things, and those things made me think, is science all there is? Can we just perceive and understand everything that's around us through the cause and effect, through kind of putting things down into equations and laws? And probably for me, I saw a couple of things, well, maybe more than a couple of things, where I find it really hard how science could explain those. I think last time I was here, I said about how my mother and myself and my brother we're in a very, very serious car crash. When I was 12 years old, we lived in Norfolk at the time, and we were coming back on a November's evening through the country lanes in at the Norfolk Broads, and this lorry had stopped across this country lane and over a little dip, and we weren't going that fast, but kind of couldn't stop, smack straight into the side of this lorry. And to show how old I am, you didn't have to wear safety belts in those days. So I was just kind of catapulted straight through the windscreen, cut face, broken leg, trapped for about half an hour before the fire brigade could get there. And my mum, who was driving, she didn't have safety belt either. She was trained as a nurse, and she knew that most kind of fatalities happened when the steering wheel kind of hit you. So she kind of locked her arms and legs just seconds before impact, and her kind of right hand came up through her arm and her leg came up. And we were trapped there as people who believed in Jesus. An awful carnage. And we prayed. And as we prayed, it was like we were both kind of conscious and aware, but it's like God kind of covered this. There was a sense of peace and a sense of love that in that dark, bleak night, as 40 gallons of diesel were pouring over my kind of badly cut up face, just to know God's peace there. And for 2 months afterwards, my mum was in hospital, and they tried to do reconstructive surgery on her knees, because the kind of the impact had come up through her knee joint, and it wasn't just broken, the bones were shattered, and they tried to kind of stitch them together and kind of put metal bits in. But eventually they said to her, I'm sorry, you won't be able to walk again. And I remember my mum being at home, and she couldn't put her arm, she couldn't walk with a stick because her arm was badly broken, badly hurt as well. And she used to kind of drag herself around the house trying to look after us as children. And the day came when some friends visited, and they said, although she was stuck in a wheelchair when we went out, they said, we believe in Jesus. We read the stories of Jesus in the Bible, and we would like to pray for you. And Mum said, okay. And as they prayed, this leg that went kind of down, massive bones out to the side, straightened up and strengthened and was healed. And my mum, that was confined to this wheelchair, was able to walk and to run. And that summer we went on a cycling holiday in France. She cycles 500 miles. Now, my scientific mind struggles with that, because kind of that should not happen. Scientifically, bones don't just knit together instantaneously like that. In fact, she's 84 now, and she went to have a knee replacement, the other knee, and she went to see the consultant, and she managed to have a look at her notes, and she flipped back to that instant, and had all these tests, all these operations, and at the bottom it just said, has had a religious experience. And that's all they could say, because science couldn't explain it. And so as I talk tonight about about healing, there's something that I've seen with my own eyes, that God does something that breaks the rules of science. In fact, that's why it's called supernatural healing. I mean, we experience natural healing, don't we? I mean, God's made our bodies in a very wonderful way. So if you cut yourself naturally, it will heal. It will scab over, and eventually there's new skin, and you can pick it, and it's all kind of fun. And but eventually, natural healing takes place. Supernatural healing is healing that kind of, it's not natural. And so we're going to think just a bit this evening about that, and then take a chance to pray. And, I mean, who knows that maybe even this evening, God here with us could do something that maybe can bring some healing to you, to your mind, to your body, to your emotions, because that's the God who I believe in. So just a few quite quick points. Why do I believe that today we can experience supernatural healing? And the first reason is Jesus. I mean, plain and simple, that as people who say that we're Christians, and I know some of you here are guests and visitors, but when we decide to follow Jesus, we find in Jesus, he is all God's thoughts, all God's dreams, all his hopes, all his ambitions for humanity. Suddenly, as Jesus comes onto the face of this earth, all of God, his imagination that we can't see, suddenly we can see God in our world in human form. And all the kind of things that we thought about God suddenly become three-dimensional. So in the Old Testament, there's this little verse in Exodus that says, about God says, I'm the God who heals you. I'm the God who heals you. And so some people expected that this invisible God was a God who heals. So when God becomes a human being and God lives here amongst us, there was kind of that expectation, well, maybe if God heals, if God became a human being, maybe we would see healing happening with that human being. Now, I'm not sure how many of you have ever read the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus. If you're new and you haven't, I would thoroughly recommend it. Get a Bible app, kind of Google Bible. It'll come up, app, click on it. Kind of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Read, it'll take you a couple of hours maybe. Read about the life of Jesus, because when you read the life of Jesus, you'll find that 25% of all the gospel stories are about healing, about Jesus healing people physically, emotionally, socially. Now, you might think those original eyewitnesses, if they were going to record about God becoming a human being, surely there'd be much more profound things they'd want to say. Surely there'd be much more spiritual things. But no, as they took eyewitness accounts, somebody like Luke, he interviewed people, found out accounts, he wanted to write down what happened. And a quarter of what happened was that Jesus healed people. People who were lame started to walk. People who were blind started to see. People who had horrible kind of skin, leprosy, skin disease, were cleansed. People who were blind began to see. Actually, even people who had died came back to life. And the reason that I believe that God heals is because we read the accounts of God becoming a human being, and he healed. He was the one who was with us. I'm just going to read a little couple of stories, just if you don't know the stories. Here's two instances of when Jesus healed people. So as Jesus was on his way, a crowd almost crushed him, and a woman was there, subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She'd been to all kinds of doctors. No one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. He then said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from Jairus' house, the synagogue leader. And what happened is that Jairus had come to Jesus to ask Jesus to heal his daughter. This interruption had happened, and the news then comes, "Your daughter is dead." He said, "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she'll be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the mother's father and mother. child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. So that was Jesus. What does God think? What does God dream? In Jesus, we see God in human form. And as God comes into our world, he comes bringing supernatural healing. But was it just for Jesus back 2,000 years ago when we didn't have medicine, when we didn't have medical advancements, we didn't have hospitals? Was it just something that was kind of for then? Or is there something that happened with Jesus' followers? And I suppose the second thing is that Jesus' first followers, they also experienced the supernatural healing. In fact, when Jesus spent some time with them, he'd been teaching them, he'd been nurturing them, he eventually sent them out. It says this, that Jesus called the 12 together. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal all those who were ill. Those were the 12. Eventually, he goes, there's another mission time. There's 72 people. And it says this about the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two to every town and place that he was about to go. This is what he told them to do. Heal those who are ill and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. God's kingdom, his dreams, his hopes, his thoughts are coming nearby. Because God is a God who heals, as God's kingdom comes nearby, healing will be part of what we see happen. And so he instructs those first followers, what I want you to do is I want you to go, and because God's dreams, God's hope, they're near at hand, you go, and when you encounter sick people, when you find people who are ill, heal them. And so we move from the Gospels into the Acts of the Apostles, and we see Peter and John. They're going to the temple to worship God, and as they go in, there's somebody who's begging there because he can't walk, he can't work, and he's just begging for money. And he asks those first followers of Jesus, will you give us some money? And they say, I'm afraid we haven't got any cash, but what we have got, we'll give you. In Jesus' name, get up and walk. And blow me down. What happened? He gets up and walks. They're not God. They're not Jesus. But they have this authority and this power for Jesus to speak. And this man gets up and starts dancing and leaping around. And everyone knows who he is. And they praise God for what's been going on. And as you go through that book, the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see time and time again, people are being healed. I mean, Peter's shadow just wanders across sick people and they get well. I mean, they send handkerchiefs to sick people. Actually, I wouldn't send that to anybody. They'd probably get very ill. But he would send handkerchiefs to people, and it would touch them, and they would instantly get healed. And all these kind of wild supernatural healings were happening and going on for those first followers of Jesus. And as you track through church history, whether it's people like Origen or St. Augustine of Hippo, these kind of what's called early church fathers, they record stories of the first century, the second century, the fifth century, that people who genuinely follow Jesus, when they believe in him and trust him, when they have faith that something happens and people get healed. And if you're here this evening, you're somebody who's chosen to follow Jesus, the reality is that you're somebody too who can pray for people and they can be healed. That's your commission. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is this. Go and share the good news about Jesus with anybody. Heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse lepers. Now, of course, we have the health service, and it's great. I had a little visit there myself this week, down to the hospital, and it's fantastic with technology, isn't it, of all that we can now experience. But there's times where we know we need to have a touch from God. So what about us? What about us? What about us here this evening? Is that something that we can expect? I think it's something that we can. I mean, as well as my mum walking out of this wheelchair, my younger brother, age 25, he was diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis. It's a kind of arthritic condition that when you're young, your joints start to calcify. and his joints started to calcify, and his kind of back spine started to curve. And again, he tried to have treatment, and nothing was working. And his joints became kind of so painful that at the birth of his second child, his wrists were so kind of swollen that he couldn't even hold the newborn son that he had because his joints were so swollen. And for years, we'd prayed for healing. And 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, we just carried on praying. We'd seen God heal, and somehow there was nothing was changing. In those times, he would say that God's peace and God's presence and God's hope surrounded him, even within the pain. But seven years ago, he kept on praying, and 7 years ago, just amazingly, he was healed. The pain totally went. The count in his blood has just totally gone. He's now he can move his joints and he can swim and again it's just, does it happen today? Yes, it does. The reality is that my other brother suffers from bipolar. Is he healed? No, he's not. He takes medication and he's doing fine. My dad, aged 65, had an aortic aneurysm, dropped down dead. And there's this kind of big question, well, what about us? Kind of, we kind of may experience healing, but then we kind of may be very disappointed. We kind of may see God doing some things, but we may not see God doing things. And there's this real kind of conflict about how do we see God's kingdom come? How do we see his will being done? And I suppose for me, as if I was to pass on any kind of hints to you, it would be this. I think that healing is for today. But I think there's something, it's kind of now and not yet. There's something about God's kingdom that we can experience. And there's times, and even this evening, a moment or two, when we take a chance to pray, I believe there's times where God's healing power can be here and heal people. But I know for some people, you pray, and for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, they aren't healed. But I know the day will come when God's dreams and his hopes and his thoughts will be fully realized. That will be a day when Jesus returns to this earth. And then the Bible promises there'll be no more pain, no more death, no more tears. We'll be freed from the tyranny of our physical ailments. And we trust in the kingdom that one day will come. But somehow we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That future that we're one day going to enjoy, we want some of that future to come here now as we pray. And so how do we do that? Well, I think we kind of persevere. It's interesting in the story that we read that faith was mentioned. Now, I did say at the beginning we're talking about supernatural healing rather than faith healing, because I think faith healing has got a bad press. It's got this idea of kind of send $10, touch your TV screen and you'll be healed. And that is nonsense. And making money or making a career out of God's healing power is awful. But there is something about supernatural healing that requires faith. Which is why when Jairus was here and his daughter was dying, and then the news comes that she'd actually died, Jesus says this, as he looks at this man who's lost his daughter, says, don't be afraid, only believe, and she'll be well. Now, you might say, don't be afraid, make sure you go to church enough. Don't be afraid, make sure you're very holy. Don't be afraid, kind of read your Bible a lot. Don't be afraid, pray a lot. And maybe if you're just good enough, you might get healed. He doesn't say that. He says, don't be afraid, only believe, and she will be healed. And I think there's something that's kind of, it's really strange about faith or trust. Which is why when this woman pushes through the crowd, she has this idea in her mind, I've tried all the doctors, I've tried all the medicines, they've not worked, but I've heard something about Jesus. I've heard some of the stories. I've heard some of his work. If I could just push through the crowd, if I could just touch his coat, I think I'll be healed. And that trust that she has in her heart, she goes through the crowd secretly, touches Jesus, and she knows instantly she's healed. Jesus calls her out and eventually says, do you know what, daughter? Your faith has made you well. And there's something about faith, or there's something about trust that I think releases healing. Now, I think where the faith kind of healers the guys get it wrong is that the person who's sick's got to have the faith. So kind of, come along to this meeting. If you've got faith, you'll be healed. So kind of, here's somebody, and they've got this kind of chronic disease, and the faith healer guy kind of prays for them, and they're not healed. Sorry, not only are you unwell and not healed, you've got no faith. Next, please. And you think, again, it's not. Actually, there are times, like with a woman, that she did have faith. And you may be here this evening, and you're sick, and you may have heard it was a healing special, and you thought, I wonder if I go to Metro tonight. I wonder if they take a chance to pray. I wonder when we sing that worship song, and Tim asks people to put their hand up. I wonder if I put my hand up. I wonder if God might heal me. And you might have a bit of trust in your heart, which is fantastic. But do you think Jairus' daughter had any faith? She was dead. Let me tell you, she didn't. And sometimes it's not the person who's sick who has the faith, it's somebody else. Which is why, in a moment or two, if you'd like somebody to pray with you, then having somebody praying with you who, and you might not have faith, but they might have faith that God's a God that heals. And in the New Testament, you read about Christians, they would pray, and sometimes they would what call lay hands on people who are sick or anoint them with oil. And it would just be like kind of identifying with that sick person and saying, I've got faith in a loving God. I've got faith that God can heal you. I think sometimes there's just an atmosphere of faith. I mean, it was lovely to worship earlier on, wasn't it? And sometimes when we sing worship songs, it just kind of like you feel that there's a faith in the room. You feel there's a trust. And I know there's times where no sick person's had the faith and no one's prayed for them, but just somehow they find that they've been healed. Just being in an atmosphere of worship. And I think that's the case as we pray in a moment or two. Maybe for some of you, you want to pray, Lord, give me faith. Maybe for some of you, you've decided to follow Jesus, and for some of you, you've never experienced what it is for the Holy Spirit to help you to pray for somebody, for them to be healed. And as we pray in a moment, you might want to say, God, will you give me courage? Will you give me hope to do this, to pray for somebody? It may be, though, that you're here and you're somebody that you are sick and unwell, and we want to give the opportunity for God to break in and for God to do something. And I believe both in medicine and in supernatural healing. I believe that God's given us medical resources. He's given us this physical world. He's given us brains and intellect. Technology and science has advanced so that we could do kind of CAT scans, and we can have medication and the kind of amazing things that kind of generations ago they wouldn't have dreamed of. And God's given us the medical resources to use to see healing. But there's times where the medical resources don't work out. There's times where we need supernatural healing. Actually, do you know what? There's even times where maybe medicine could heal, but God wants to show you that he's there. A few Sundays ago up at Woodlands, I sometimes ask God, is there anything you want to say to people? And if you read through the Bible, you'll see these things called words of knowledge, where God gives people sometimes a bit of knowledge about somebody who's there. I just had this kind of sensation, kind of just down here, this kind of pain. And normally when I pray and I feel something, I say, God, is it? My biology is not really good. I said, is it kidney? Is it liver? Kind of, what's down here? And normally I kind of think, okay, it's a kidney problem. And so I'll say, anyone here with a kidney problem, kind of God wants to heal you. But this time I felt this sensation here, and I was saying to God, kind of, what is it? And I felt, nothing. It's just a pain. So I said, there's somebody here tonight, and I just pointed to the spot. I said, there's somebody here with a pain here, and I'd love to pray for you after this, kind of when the worship's happening. And so after the worship, this woman came forward and she said, you know what, for 4 weeks now, I've had this pain here. I've been so frightened, I've not even been to the doctor, so I don't know what it is. And I think that was me. And I said, you know what, I think it is you. And I think God wants to say, he wants to take away that fear, and he wants to heal you. And just as we stood there and we said a simple prayer together, she just encountered the presence of God. And the power of God, just kind of, she could just physically feel the sensation. I've not seen her since, so I'm not quite sure what happened. It's only a few weeks ago. But there's times where medicine could perhaps sort things out, but because God's loving, he's compassionate and kind, maybe he might do things for you this evening. So that's what I want to put out there. Kind of time's gone, but I want to say to you, why don't you give healing a go for somebody you love? Because who knows, God might show up with his power. Just one last story. My son, when he was 13, went to St. Mary Redcliffe School locally. Just before our Easter holiday, he was playing kind of water polo. And somebody kind of just whacked this ball really hard and just caught him straight in the eye socket. And it squashed his eyeball against the back of his head. And like, you know, like a grape, if you kind of squash a grape. So when he had this split in his eyeball, go to the eye hospital, and they say you've just got to just lie flat, because if kind of bruised retina and kind of this split, actually you could, if you don't just have total bed rest, you could lose your sight. It was really a pain, because we'd saved up money to go to Euro Disney. They'd not flown before, and four days' time we were due to fly out to Paris, and we were gutted. We weren't had a life flat. So we prayed, and we said to him, "Should we pray for you, Matthew?" And he said, "Yep." I said, "Well, do you know what they used to do with when Jesus used to do? He used to spit on people's eyes. Is that okay?" "No." We pray for him, and the pain subsides. And 3 days later, we go for a checkup, and they do all the tests and think, "Oh, that's strange." Kind of on this one, it was split, and whatever. Kind of the swelling's gone down, whatever. Can we fly? Well, I can't see any reason why you can't fly. And rather than kind of going from bed rest for kind of 2 weeks to going off and enjoying a family holiday, and it was taking the chance, taking the risk. God, will you heal? And he did. So we're going to take a moment now just to pray. And as we pray together, I want to pray for two things. I want to pray for if you're here this evening and you're somebody who loves Jesus and follows him, and you wanted to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, healing is part of the deal. And you may fail, but if you never try, you won't succeed. So give it a go. Actually, as long as you give it a go in the context of love rather than showing off, if you want to show, "Well, I'm a powerful Christian, ba-dam, be healed," kind of, I think you fall on your face. But if you genuinely, genuinely love somebody and you say, as a friend, "Would you mind if I pray for you that God might heal you?" If the heart is a heart of love, even if the prayer fails, they'll taste the love. I think it's true. Even if the prayer fails, the fact that you took the time to pray for them, the fact that they might not believe in God, but the fact that you do believe in God and you thought it would make a difference, actually that touches people's hearts. So give it a go. Let's pray. And just as I pray, I want to pray for those two things. I want to pray for people to have boldness. And if you want boldness, maybe even this week, to pray for somebody who you know is not well, and you want that power of God to be in your life, I'm going to ask God to give you that power in a moment. But it may be that you're here and you are physically unwell. I mean, I did wonder whether there's somebody here who is here this evening and your left hip has been damaged, and you know that kind of when you move it, it's kind of quite painful. And again, I just felt God wanted to heal somebody with a left hip this evening. And there's somebody else, and it's kind of the nasal cavity and the top of your mouth, it gets kind of quite significantly irritated from time to time. And again, that for God to bring healing there. But it could be you've got kind of any kind of thing that God, you could reach out to God now, and he could heal. So what I'd like us to do is for us all to stand up. Maybe we'll get the worship band to come back on the stage here. But if we could all stand up together. And I'm going to pray those two things. I'm going to pray, first of all, for if you're somebody who loves Jesus and would like his power to be able to pray, Jesus commissioning you as his followers, I want to pray for you. And then if you're somebody who this evening would like to be healed, maybe just as we sing this worship song, for God's power to touch you, I want to pray that God's healing power would be here. If you want to just stay where you are and worship and just ask God just by yourself for that healing, that's fine. If you'd like someone to pray with you, I'll be at the back there. Maybe some of the Metro team might be there as well. And we'd just love to ask you what to do and to pray. Again, in that context of love for God's power and to be touching you. But let's pray. And as we pray, if you want that power of God, maybe just kind of put your hands out in front of you, a little sign to God that, God, I want to be somebody who can be used by you. If you're somebody who would like to receive some physical healing this evening, maybe put your hands out in front of you as well, as a little sign to God that, God, it's me. A bit like that woman who touched the cloak of Jesus, just like putting your hand out, saying, I'm putting my hands out, I can't see you, God, but I'm putting my hands out towards you for your power. Let's pray. God, I can look out and I can see people. I can see people with their hands out. And you know them, and you know them by name. And you love them. And I just want to pray now for the Spirit of God to be in this place. Spirit, break out. Break out with your power and your love, I pray. For hearts are open to you, will you be filling them? Hearts are open to you, will you be encouraging them? Hearts are open to you, will you be inspiring them with that eternal kingdom? And where those are the people that just tonight need healing, I want to pray now for your healing power to touch their body. I pray that they would experience something, just a little sensation in their body, that they'd know that it's you at work. Will you release your healing power, I pray? Heal the sick. Cast out fears. Bring your peace. In Jesus' name.